ko te wā tēnei mō Heps Picks.
And the legend himself is on the line. Good morning, Mr. Martin Pepperell.
Hey.
What's going on?
Finishing up a coffee.
Lovely.
Drinking water. Sitting outside in the cool breeze. Staring into the clouds in the distance. Thinking about all the things that need to be done.
And as per usual, there's lots in your life to be done, I'm sure.
Yeah, there's lots in all of our lives to be done. You know, sometimes it's big picture, sometimes it's granular. Sometimes you got to do a lot of washing. Sometimes you got to do a lot of writing.
Oh, I have a lot of washing to do, actually, now I think about it. Hey, have you seen Wicked?
No, I haven't seen Wicked yet. I've, the internet content about people going to Wicked has been... There's some interesting anecdotes and stories going on out there.
Now, because there's been debate about whether you should sing in the movie theatre or not. Oof.
Look, man, it's Wicked. It's Wicked. I don't know anything about Wicked, but I know people are going to be singing in there.
Hold on. You have this massive knowledge of music, but nothing about musical theatre.
I don't know anything about Wicked, but...
You homophobe! Oh, my God, I'm offended.
Hey, man, I've been to Cats.
Oh, God.
I've been to Les Mis. I've been to Phantom of the Opera. I've been to... Actually, Liam.
Yes.
Liam.
Yes.
Do you remember... Have you seen Peter Jackson's zombie movie, Brain Dead?
No.
Never seen Peter Jackson's zombie movie?
I didn't know he had.
So in the first wave of his career, he did a lot of stuff with puppets. There's a film called Meet the Feebles. God. There's a film called Bad Taste. And there's a film called Brain Dead, which is about zombies. And this is all Jim Henson style special effects. Muppet Show. So anyway, there's this one, it's classic. It's a classic zombie movie called Bad Taste. A lot of miniatures and sets. I've been to Braindead. It's Braindead. I've been to Braindead the musical, Liam.
Wow. Wow, okay.
They had a musical version of it at the Wellington Repertory Theatre in about 1994, and they were pouring blood off the stage onto the audience.
Oh, Jesus.
I've also been to Army of Darkness, the musical.
Okay, right, good. Okay.
But just what I'm saying is, like, you don't have to know anything about Wicked to know that people are going to be singing in the cinema.
Yeah, it was, I don't know, I think it's totally fine to sing in the cinema. I don't know if I'm okay with, like, say, belting out really loudly as such. I think that's maybe a bit wrong.
Don't you think it really depends on the overall... I mean, look, let's be real. If it's a sold-out session, it's going to get pretty rowdy in there, right?
Yeah, probably. If it was a sold-out session, then...
It's going to get rowdy, you know? People are going to have had drinks beforehand... I've heard stories about people sniffing poppers at the start of each chorus.
Yeah, I almost took poppers and sniffed them, actually. But I controlled myself.
So who made this thing? Is this a Disney thing?
It's John Chu, who made it for Warner.
Because, you know, they're doing it. This seems like they're doing a real balancing act here. They're trying to make a family-friendly movie that's also not a family-friendly movie.
I don't think it's that family friendly, really, actually, if I'm honest.
Interesting.
It was interesting. So good, though. I've been defying gravity ever since. I've gotten gayer.
So, have you figured out how you're going to incorporate music or remixes of music or perhaps like segments of dialogue from it into your DJ sets?
Interesting you say that. More the dialogue, actually. There were some great kind of really good bitey little lines that could go in a remix. The music itself, those songs are hard, I think, to like incorporate into something.
It's probably going to be a dialogue-based thing.
Yeah.
Dialogue remixes. I've been expecting the dialogue remixes to turn up soon.
I would argue there's already too many of them.
Oh, they're already out there.
Yeah, well, you know, it's still kind of memey to do it.
Yeah, this is just part of the game. This is the post-pandemic, post-Twitch live stream DJ world.
Yeah.
This is what people do now.
Exactly.
Actually, to be honest, this whole phenomenon is not new at all. People sort of pretend that all of this thing is new, but I remember in 2007, I remember talking to someone who'd been on a world tour DJing club music, party music, and there'd been all these different countries around the world with different, like, people opening for them, and they said that the main common thread was that everybody was playing SpongeBob SquarePants remixes.
Oh, God.
Everyone was either incorporating dialogue or music or doing an edit or...
Oh, yeah. I even remember those.
Yeah, and this was cutting across all these different genres and cultures. Like, so... Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how new this whole phenomena really is, if you really want to get to it.
Anyway, let's. It's not worth our big brains.
Look, I guess there's nothing new under the pink, warm belly of a dying sun.
that was just, I knew you were going to try that one, but that was just shoehorned in. Oh dear. Oh dear.
The dying sun.
This is
the name of the music project that we're talking about today.
Yeah, it's an incredible name.
Adventurous music. You gotta listen to all of the tracks on the CP. There's only about five. It's a pretty quick listen.
Oh, okay.
But there's you've gotta listen to all of them. There's this track at the end of it that we'll get to that. So anyway, so this whole thing, where do I start? Okay, this is there's two parts to this. There's music, and then there's the spoken word vocals. The vocalist, Lucas Polishek, he's a Berlin-based sound artist, poet, and educator. He's Polish. His father was a diplomat,
so
the family grew up in New York. Two sons. Family of Poles moved over to New York in the early 80s. For a bunch of years, and then again in the 90s. So, what this meant, as a small child, he's in New York, and guess what's coming through the radio? Guess what you're hearing out on the streets? Guess what you're seeing?
Hip-hop. Oh, right.
Hip-hop.
Yeah.
Hip-hop. Right. Hip-hop. Grandmaster Flash, Sugar Hill Gang, Curtis Blow, whoever, all of them. So this kid from Poland, you know, he's a kid in New York in the 80s, seeing the birth and rise of recorded hip-hop. Because when I think about it, you know, hip-hop, the first phase, you have 73 to 79, no one's really making recordings, it's just parties. It's basically, the expression of hip-hop at that time was parties, people rapping live, DJing live, breakdancing, doing graffiti art, things that weren't actually as closely connected at that point as people imagine.
Yeah, right.
The connection between those elements came later because of this guy, Fab Five Freddy, who was an art curator who had roots in that community but was involved in the downtown scene in Manhattan. And he had the idea of putting these things together in exhibition-style events and promoting them to the MTV generation, getting people like Blondie or Madonna or David Bowie or whoever to come and see this stuff. So Lucas is around for all of this. They go back to Poland, comes back in the 90s. By the time he arrives back in New York in the 90s, we're in the what people call the golden era. The production, all the soul and jazz samples, the complicated rapping, the MC battles, things like Def Jam poetry, sort of spoken word, like poetry rap events, the rise of Raucous Records, all this stuff. You know, so he's like taking this all on and, you know, trying to be a rapper around New York, and him and his friends have got a punk band where they're doing punk mixed with hip-hop. Fast forward a few years, ends up in Berlin. And there's this whole new sound emerging in Europe at the time, all these underground producers inspired by people like the Neptunes and Timbaland, making these really sleek, jiggy, sort of mechanical hip-hop and dancehall beats. And, you know, he'd lived in New York twice. So there's an affectation. He ended up having this accent that was somewhere between European and American and mid-Atlantic.
The producers
wanted to work with him. So he's doing all this stuff. Pretty cool period of time, actually, in music. It's a period of self-discovery. A whole bunch of other stuff happens. Personal crises, all the usual stuff. And then anyway, you know, a few years ago, leading into the pandemic, he sort of thought, hey, you know, how can I approach this all in a different way?
Mm.
So he started on this journey of, he wanted to get beyond the grid, you know, get away from the rhythm. So he started, like, making these experimental soundscapes and playing around with synthesizers and field recordings and the sort of cinematic backdrop stuff, and then slowly started working with other people who were more skilled than him at that. Mark Jacobs, aka Prairie. And then afterwards, like, well, he hadn't really had a history of listening to this sort of stuff. Drone, New Age ambient, whatever, wasn't part of his musical lexicon when he was younger. But he starts making stuff, and people are like, hey, it's kind of like that. Goes and does the reading, and he's like, okay, cool, that's what I'm doing. But I've arrived at that from my own conclusions. Starts putting these spoken word vocals on top. And the way I put it was, this is how I'm going to summarize this record. Across pink warm belly of a dying sun, Ain't About Me depicts the tear gas dusted horrors of the 21st century in economical unvarnished prose. Employing a process of production, he boils down a lifetime spent rapping into precise spoken word rumination set against a backdrop of corroded drone synthesis and cosmic noise produced by Prairie. So that's sort of the overall statement for this project, which is there have been several projects under this alias Ain't About Me, and now this one, this collaboration with Prairie, it's changed into Pink Warm Belly of a Dying Sun.
Right, okay.
And this stuff is just, like I said, very much these are, he calls these verbal paintings. So it's describing a situation or a setting, a context, a series of events, conveying some information over the drone and noise. The one I selected today, I thought was the easiest introduction into this, was called Black Lilies. And the story becomes evident pretty quickly once you start listening. But there's this really crazy one at the end called Coney Island Whales, which is sort of halfway between fact and fiction, anecdote about periodically in the past, you know, you'd large numbers of whales which beach themselves on the Coney Island beaches.
Yeah, right.
And, you know, I mean, it's, but when you've seen a whale beach itself, it's bad news, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Quite often they're not able to save the beached whales, you know, they're really done. And look, this is, you know, New York in the early 80s, late 70s, early 80s, this is how crazy that place was. Sometimes people would go down to the beach and graffiti up one of the whales.
Oh, my God. What? God.
Go down and, like, one of those bombs, you know, when you see the big, like, the pieces that they put on the railway, on the trains in New York, the pieces of the characters and the letters.
Jesus. Oh, my
God. Sometimes people would go and tag up a whale on the beach.
That's so weird. Why?
Only in New York.
Yeah, only in New York.
Only in New York. You know, there's no logic to this. This is very difficult stuff to understand. There's certain things where you try and, like, make sense of them, and you have to remember that you're thinking about something that a bunch of teenagers came up with.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's like the whole phenomena of the tier of aspiring pop singers who get described as Kias. And they talk about how they're trapped in the Kia asylum and they can't make it out. You're probably across the stuff.
I've never heard that anecdote before.
Oh, you've got to look this up. I've seen a whole article for you. But
really? The oh, my God.
From the Cut did this investigation into this sort of this new level of fandom that's emerging, like these super fans of these artists who aren't quite pop stars, but they hope will become pop stars. And the writer, she's just going crazy trying to understand what's going on. And someone's like, you're analysing something a bunch of teenagers came up with.
Yeah, yeah. That's such a... Yeah, you got to pause and, you know, collect yourself from that moment.
You know, sometimes it's not that deep.
Yeah, you got to not think about it that much.
But yeah, this EP is crazy. These verbal paintings over these sound backdrops, and Lucas, he's got such a great command of the tone and texture of his voice as well.
Yeah, right.
Really, really, really sculpted voice.
It's a very cool track, and yeah, you've got me curious for the whole EP now. That's for
sure.
Yeah,
it's just different. It's just different. I haven't heard a lot of stuff like this recently.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool. Well, Martin, thank you so much for joining me this morning. It's a pleasure, as usual. Hopefully you have a wonderful, wonderful day.
Yeah, you too, Liam. Cheers.
And here is his track today. It's called Black Lilies. It's from an EP called Pink Warm Belly of a Dying Sun. It's composed by Prairie, with the mesmeric voice and writing of Ain't About Me. Enjoy.
I'm a shark. Clean. Cut into slices. Here on display for you. In equally spaced glass cases. This room is white and spacious and empty, except for the swirling scent of sandalwood incense perched on the passing draft. You walk in, cut through these scattered, floating circles. A knife meets mathematics, a vector. You're just a whisper, the way you move, but your dress is ruby red. Your hair is tied up in a bun, not a single strand loose, and you're holding a tray in front of you. Charcoal, matte, with glossy, sloppy paint splashes all over it, red like your outfit. You pause, size me up, look me in my dead eye, and kneel down in front of me, tray on the floor. Then you pick up a spent tear gas canister and place it midpoint between us. You pour water into it, focused like July sunlight in a lens. You drop three flowers into it. The canister is a vase now. You let them fall away, each in its own direction. They're black lilies, half open, kinda purple.
ko te wā tēnei mō Hips Picks.